Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Brother Gerald's thoughts, I hope I won't repeat too many of them. Because our minds were running down the same line a little bit. Each one of us here has a way that we think. Each of us has a unique background. We have different influences in our lives that form us and form our minds. The home you're brought up in, the experiences you've had in life, your school teachers, your friends, all these different things that affect our lives, they affect how we think. So the title I have this morning is Perspective. I had to think about it during the Sunday school lesson as well. A stronger brother and a weaker brother. And some of that has to do with perspective. At least when we view it, we look at it that way. Maybe we could call it our point of view. To begin with, I'd like to look at man's perspective versus God's perspective. Man's perspective is fallible. It can be wrong. It's basically a point of view. It's how we view life, how we view things. If we base our perspective on God and His Word, it can be right. Our perspective can be right, but it is not right in itself. Think of God's perspective, and I would like to just say that I don't think it's right to call it God's perspective. God does not have a perspective. God is truth. But I'm going to use the term just as a way of comparison. But God's perspective is infallible, can never be wrong. It is truth. It does not change. And it's absolute. It is never, there's not exceptions. It's always the same. I'd like to turn to John chapter 9. Read the first five verses. Gospel of John, chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The disciples had a question. Who sinned, this man or his parents? In their mind, there was sin involved here somewhere. That was the only explanation. And Jesus said, neither. But it's for God's honor and glory. But that illustrates so well how our perspective can be so skewed from how God looks at things, how God has designed things. Sometimes when I'm driving down the road with my wife, she says, well, you're getting too close to the edge. And I say, well, no, I'm too close to the middle. Sometimes I am too close to the edge, but it's a matter of perspective. It depends which side of the car you're sitting on. We find that in life often. A few more stories from the Bible here to illustrate this. Numbers chapter 13. Read verses 27 to 33. A little background. This is the story of the 12 spies. They went into the land of Canaan to check it out. They were in there 40 days searching out this land. And this is their report when they came back. Verse 27, Numbers 13. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." I'd like you to use your imagination a little bit. But just imagine there's these 12 men that went out. And when they came back, 10 of them did not believe they could conquer the land. Now, I would assume that if they were sent to search out the land, they were the leaders. They were great men. They were the responsible ones. But maybe there was one man out of those 10 who had an easier job in Egypt. It hadn't been quite as rough as some of his friends. And maybe he had lost a son in the desert, one of the plagues God sent. And so he had a negative view, a negative perspective of this whole trip. And as he talked and as he gave his perspective on how this is so rough and how it's just Moses, God isn't in this. But as he gave that, and pretty soon he had 10 men who believed him and who agreed with him. That's how gullible we are. Very possible. We use the term to make a mountain out of a molehill. Titus talked about an ant up here this morning. Now, if you put a dump truck load of dirt on the ground, to that ant, that's a real mountain. And for you, it's three steps. But it's simply a difference in perspective. It's the same pile of dirt. It's just how big it looks to you. But if I have a truckload of dirt and an ant, maybe that's the same as me trying to climb Mount Hood. Luke chapter 18. Another example of perspective. This verse 9, parable of the Pharisee and the publican. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You see, two different perspectives as they related to God. The first man thought that God should be honored, that he would serve him. That God should be really glad that he was following him. And the next man was ashamed to even come in God's presence because he knew how little he was inside. And we all think the Pharisee was a real hypocrite. But how often do we sit down in church and we see our brother across the church or our sister and we think, you know, I'm really glad I don't struggle with the things that they do. I'm really glad I see things better than they do. Are we any better than that Pharisee? So if life is just perspective, I have my view, you have your view. What gives life stability? And Gerald already talked about that. It's God's Word. God's Word is sure. God's Word doesn't change simply because of how man wants to interpret it to fit his agenda. Just a few verses, Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's word is sure. Our perspective is subject to, as I said before, our experiences, the influences in our lives. God's word does not change. Do we allow our perspective of life, of the things that we have seen in life, do we allow that to become the basis when we make our decisions? Or do we base our decisions on the Word of God? Experience is a valuable teacher. But it should never take the place of the Word of God. Because we react. And we don't see things the way God does. I'd like to look at a few things that distort our perspective. Sometimes some of the older cameras, digital cameras, they had things on there where you could take pictures and it would distort the image. So you could take a picture of a person and make their face all fat or fish-eyed or whatever. But they distorted the image. And there's things that we come across in life that distort our perspective. It makes it so our perspective is not real. First one I have is fear. And I think that often most of the other things that distort our perspective have their root in fear. Matthew chapter 25. verses 24 to 28. This is a parable of the talents, and this is the one man's response to that. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. And if you'd read on, he said to throw them out. Fear causes us to do things that are not right. Fear distorts our perspective. If you try to look out the windows, you can't see much. The glass is opaque. It distorts the view. You can see a few color or light and dark and a few shapes, but that's it. Fear can do that to us. Fear can make things look way out of proportion. Sometimes I think about, we hear about someone who drowned, or probably others, fire, someone trapped in a fire. And if you imagine what that would be like to be out in the middle of a lake and to feel like you're sinking. But if you can imagine that feeling, the desperation. But I think there's times when people actually kill themselves through that fear, that panic that sets in. When if people can relax, they could maybe float. I don't know, not everyone's the same, but I think fear, it makes us freeze up inside. You know, we think of past experiences. Someone hurt us, or whatever. And we use that as a reason to act a certain way. It distorts our perspective of life. Anger and guilt are other things that can distort our perspective. When we become angry, we don't look at things right. We don't see straight. And we say things that a few minutes later we regret. Guilt. If we're feeling guilty, we think everyone's out to get us. We need to base what we do and how we think on truth. In Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. If you go through that list, it's true, honest, just, pure. It's truth, and we're to think on those things. Not on the past hurts, not on the anger and the bitterness, because those things distort our perspective. I'd like to look at a few different areas now and just compare our perspective, or sinful man's perspective, with God's perspective. First of all, I'd like to think about sin. What is God's perspective of sin? Ezekiel 18, verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God never softened that I have found. Sin is sin. Sin is wrong. Sin is against God. It's an abomination to God. Sin is anything that disobeys God's law. But sinful man says, if it feels good, I can do it. There's no absolutes. God is a God of love. He wants us to enjoy ourselves. That's God's perspective versus man's perspective. What about how we treat our neighbors, our brother, anyone else? Galatians 5, verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Jesus' words from Matthew 5. It hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them. I didn't write it all down. Bless those who despitefully use us. The world looks at it and says, well, if he treats me nice, I'll treat him nice. But God says, we're to love everyone. We are to love our neighbor, anyone. We're to care about them. What about holy living? 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 2 Peter 3:11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? But sinful man says, I can do what I want to. I can live my life the way that I feel it should be lived. What does God say about wealth and possessions? It says that everything is God's, and everything should be used for God's honor and glory. Psalm 50, verse 10, the cattle upon 1,000 hills are mine. And if you go back to that psalm and read more, God says, I don't need your sacrifices. I don't need these animals. They're all mine already. Everything in the earth is God's. Luke 18:24, and when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Then Luke 16:15, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Do we have God's perspective? Do we understand how God looks at these things? The world highly esteems wealth, pleasure, leisure. Have we adopted the world's value system? Like to think a little bit, I'm not sure what to call it, judging maybe. Sometimes we take our perspective in the way we look at things and we look at other people around us, and we use our perspective to add motives and attitudes to the things that other people say and do. Well, I saw this, and so that must mean they feel this way about me. I don't think it's right for us, for me, to assign a motive to someone else's actions. Brother Darrell talked about in his devotion again, we're to be fruit inspectors, but we're not to assign a motive to everything everyone else says, to everything everyone else does. But I believe that we do that when our perspective of ourselves in relation to God is wrong. That's when we do that. We start assigning motives. I know in my own life, I have been impressed many times. I see someone, I see an action that someone else does, or maybe hear something they say, and I think, how in the world? It's wrong. And you call yourself a Christian. But if I can lay that aside, maybe a little bit later come back to that and put the best possible construction on that action or statement. If I try to put that in the best light, I'm amazed how often that is what the way it actually was. I find out that the best thing I could think about that is actually how they meant it. And so often we are very happy to think about the worst. If I am sure that I am always right, it's a sign of pride in my life. If I think that I always have the correct perspective on an issue, that's wrong. It's right to have your perspective. God created you with your background, your experiences, for a perspective. But it is not truth. It is only a perspective. One of the ways that God reveals His will to us is through the church. It's through the brotherhood. And it is God's plan that each person in a brotherhood have a part, that they participate in being part of that brotherhood. As we share our perspectives with each other. We need to make sure that it's the Holy Spirit that's directing our lives, not just my perspective again. But I think it's right that we share our perspectives with each other. That it's, we share them in the spirit that we know that my brother has a different perspective and he's going to share that with me as well. Again, we need to be very careful. It's not just our human reasoning. We have to realize that we do not have all the answers ourselves. My perspective can be wrong. It can be skewed. I know I have blind spots in my life. And if my brethren never share their perspective of my life, how am I going to know? Recently, a brother shared something. He asked. Someone else had pointed out something in their lives. And so he came and he said, "Is this really the way it is?" And it was something that had bothered me, something that I had struggled with in his life. He had no idea. But that's how it is for each one of us. I have those too. How do we gain a proper perspective? Brother Gerald talked about that as well. It's by focusing on God and His Word. And then as we focus on that, and as our brethren share their perspective of our lives, we can grow. We can gain a better perspective. But we have to rely on God. I've been amazed how often I hear someone give a very strong statement. Probably done it myself. See, I don't see that. But I hear someone give a strong statement and they're sure that this is right. But it would be very hard. Well, I don't think it'd be possible even, but very hard to actually go to the Bible and find any support for that. And it's not life or death things, but all I'm saying is we can be so sure of ourselves, and the way I think is the way it should be. Often the less we talk and the more we listen, the better our perspective is. Jesus' prayer in John 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." That's what we need if we're going to have a proper perspective. We need our lives sanctified through the truth of God's Word. Instead of filtering what we hear, what we see through our perspective of life, we need to filter that through God's Word and God's perspective, God's way of life, God's view, God's truth. Again, we are fallible people. God is truth. We need to make sure our perspective is aligned with God's Word, with God's truth. And I believe that it takes the help of a brotherhood and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to do that.